My name is Matilda.
My name is Josephine. And this is our podcast, Leaving Sweden.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just what I was about to say. Sorry. My dog is digging in my pillow. Oh, life with a puppy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. And I'm good, but it's just sometimes life is just a mess and it annoys you. But I'm good.
That's good to hear. After all.
After all.
Yes. And after... The world is insane right now, Phil. We just got to mention it. Like, everyone is mentioning it. Feels weird to not mention it. Even if people's going to listen to this, like, maybe, like, years after, but whatever. We just want to mention it. We are aware of it, but we're not going to talk about it in this podcast. You can go to other podcasts to listen to that. So, with that said, today we're going to talk about language.
Yes.
A little bit.
I'm very happy about that.
I mean, we're surrounded by so many different languages, you and I.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I have Swedish, but I also have Spanish that I hear every day, and English, of course. And you have Japanese and Korean.
Yeah.
And Swedish.
Yeah.
And English. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe you don't like talk or are surrounded by so much English, but
yeah, no.
How do you, what's your thoughts about all this language mess?
Okay, so where do I start? Okay, yeah. First, I should probably mention that I, as all Swedish people, I learned English in school, like Matilda as well. So that's how, well, that's not entirely how I learned English, but that's, I think that's for a different episode, like how... Or we maybe you could talk about that later, but I learned a lot of my English on my own, which I think most Swedish people do that actually do know English pretty well. They didn't learn it in school. Like, it's a myth, I think, that people think our education system only is, like, super awesome, and that's why Swedish people are good at English, and that's not really the case. It's, like, television, games, the internet, kind of stuff like that, and that's also how I learned Japanese when I was in high school. And then, well, yeah... pretty much. And then I'm trying to learn Korean at the moment. So, and yeah. I should probably say that when I was in Japan, I did use English a lot because that's the most of my classes were in English, even though I studied in Japan. But I, when I was in Japan, I worked in Japanese and I had a lot of Japanese friends, so that's how I spoke a lot of Japanese. But I also want to be clear that even if I'm in Korea right now, the language that I use, like, 98% of the time while actually speaking out loud is Japanese. Because he doesn't speak English really, so we can't speak in English to each other. And I'm still pretty bad at Korean, so, like, it's not very effective for, like, actual communication. We practice sometimes, but, like, if we want to just have a normal conversation, it's not going to be any fun if I try to speak Korean. So, yeah, that's my language situation.
So, how did you... Okay, you mentioned, yeah, we learned Swedish... Or, sorry, we learned Swedish.
We learned Swedish.
When we were babies. No, English from... I mean, it's even earlier today.
Yeah.
Just because, like you mentioned, with, like, iPads and to, unfortunately, to, like, one-year-olds.
Oh, God.
I shouldn't have iPads, but whatever. It's another discussion.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic.
But, yeah, oh, yeah. I could go deep in that. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, what I want to say is that they're exposed to so much more English than we were when we were so young. But definitely, I mean, I watched all, like, Disney movies and everything in Swedish.
Same.
Nothing of that was in English. So the real English started when I was 9, I guess, because that's when we're...
Yeah.
When it started in class, like, we're taking English classes in school.
I think...
Before that, we didn't really have any.
No, it's funny because at home, we had these, like, VHS tapes and that my... I think my dad got us some, like, I don't know what it's called, but like a discount store, like where they just have a bunch of junk, you know, like they have stock left over that they just dump in some kind of discount store and then you can get like junk there, whatever. And he found like this like My Little Pony movie and he didn't realize that it was in English. So I would watch that on repeat. Like, I love that movie. I had no idea what they were saying, but I would, like, watch it from when I was, like, 4 to, like, 7 or something. But I still didn't. Like, the thing is, you can't
pick
up. You
had a lot of My Little Ponies.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I did. It was so pretty. And I wanted it, but I never got one.
But you had so many Barbies, though. I almost had no
so
Barbies.
Many. But I also had 2 bigger sisters.
Oh, that's true.
So.
But yeah. But the funny thing is, like, I learned nothing.
Most of them were from them.
Yeah. The thing is, kids can't pick up a different second language from media. You have to actually communicate with them to pick it up. So I didn't learn any English from that. Just a random thing. Never super irrelevant. But yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah. But yeah, so from 9 years old, I think, is when we started getting like exposed to actual English, like in a structured way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But how about your Japanese journey? How did you really get into that more?
So when I was in high school, like my first or second year, I can't remember. I was like obsessed with time travel. And I at some point you kind of run out of like time travel movies and time travel shows that it's like in Western media. So I found like this anime that was about time travel and then I watched that and I was like, I used to think anime was like really weird. I only watched like Sailor Moon and Pokemon when I was a kid in Swedish though, obviously, but this one was in Japanese. And then I was like, I somehow started watching different like animes because of that. And then I've never been an anime type of person. So I just somehow through anime found like TV shows in Japanese. So like I found this one anime and I liked the story, but the picture, like the drawing style was so ugly that I can't watch this stuff. And then I found that there was like a live action version of that one, and then I got into dramas. Like I watched so much Japanese dramas and I was like, I want to learn this language. So I started just studying Japanese grammar, I think. Like I studied the most basic grammar points and I learned some words, and then I actually learned most of my Japanese just watching Japanese like dramas, like Japanese TV shows, which I now
it's really cool.
Think is so interesting because I've been struggling to do that with Korean. But I also think because I was in high school, I had so much time. Like I could spend like hours, like 8 hours a day just listening to Japanese. And of course, knowing part of the grammar means that my brain knows like what to look for. So like you can watch, let's say I could watch like 500 movies in Spanish and I would learn nothing because my brain wouldn't know what to look for, I guess. Or Chinese or something like that. But since I had studied some of the grammar, like I think my brain started picking up the language and it was really weird. So by the time I graduated high school and I went to Japan at the age of 19, I actually understood what people were saying and it was so weird. I couldn't speak Japanese, but I understood what people were saying. So like that's how my journey started. And then after that, I realized that I wanted to actually like learn this language for real. Like I wanted to become fluent in Japanese because I realized I could say a couple of things in Japanese. And when I did, I was like, oh my God, I'm communicating in this like language that's so different. Like it was easy to learn English because it's so similar to Swedish. So it just, it's kind of like cheating in a way. If you try just a little bit, you can get really good really fast because it's so similar. But the fact that I learned a language that was so different, I think, was what motivated me to like keep going.
Sorry for my dog.
So that's my story, part of the story, like how I got into Japanese and why I guess I'm fluent in Japanese at this point. Like I just after I was like, I went to Japan for the first time, I just couldn't stop. Like I was like, I have to become fluent in Japanese, and through talking to people and like listening a lot to Japanese and studying some in school.
Do you feel, because it's really cool, like I admire it, because it's hard to take that first step, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of people has like dreams or like wanting to get better in a language, but they're like, whatever, you know, I'm not in school anymore, or, you know. But what do you feel is the hardest part of that starting? But like when you know a little bit, you can speak a little bit. Like, because I know a little Spanish, like I understand a little bit. But I can't really, and I mean, I know words, but I can't really build sentences, anymore, at least. I studied 5 fucking years. So that was a long time ago. But
yeah.
I did do my 5 years of Spanish, but I can't remember so much. But I know that when I try to speak Spanish with my boyfriend, who is from Mexico, so, well, obviously he's fluent in Spanish. I'm always afraid, maybe that's just a personal thing, but I'm always scared of saying the wrong thing. Not scared in that sense, because I know he wouldn't care, but I'm just like that, like if I do something or say something, I don't want to do it wrong, or I don't want to say it wrong. And if you don't know anyone, like going to the grocery or asking someone on the street or whatever, and you say something wrong, like that's just, and they don't understand you, that's like a big, not a big fear in that sense, but that's, for me, it's the scariest part with languages, to not, or just to say something wrong, or not be understood by the other person, and then you kind of just want to give up anyways, you know?
Yeah, no.
But what do you feel about that?
Okay, so first I want to clarify that I think a lot of people, when I say I speak, well, almost 4 languages, not really, but almost. They like, oh my God, I wish I was good at learning languages like you are. Now, don't say that. But I know there's some slight difference. There's something called aptitude. And some people have a slightly, like, they're slightly better at learning languages than other people, but it's so small that it doesn't really change whether you can become fluent in a second language or not. And just as Matilda, I studied, I studied 6 years of French, because I studied all middle school and all high school, I studied French. And do you think I speak any French at all? No. I can order a cheese sandwich, and I can sometimes understand parts of like nature shows or whatever, because it's the words are sometimes similar to English and they speak so clearly. You know, like, I don't actually speak French, and I studied French for 6 years. And do you know how many people spend that much time, like, studying a language and don't learn anything? And then they think, like, oh, it must mean that I'm bad at learning languages. But, like, spending 6 years, if you spend, like, how many hours a week? Like, 1 hour a week or something for 6 years in a classroom, and just, like, doing grammar exercises and maybe writing, like, an essay every now and then, and reading some dumb like text that's so dumbed down that it's just like nobody speaks like that, you know, you're not gonna learn the language.
It's always like that.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, a language in your brain is not isolated grammar structures. It's not like you can just take different rules and like put them into your brain and think that your brain is like gonna create a language that way. You have to like build a new system in your brain, if that makes any sense. You're kind of like a computer. You're not a computer, but if you're like a hard drive, you have like Swedish installed. But installing that took a lot of years. You know, you didn't install it overnight. So if you're going to install a new language, you have to do it the same way. It's going to take a long time. And it's going to take more than just like putting in some random files and saying, oh, now I have a new software. I know I'm probably more confusing, but like if you want to install a game, you can't just put in some of the game files and hope the game is going to like start up. You have to like install the entire game for it to start up. Like the entire base.
I'm with you.
And then there's like add-ons, of course. You can add on like business English, or like go bank Japanese. You know what I mean? You can add on more. Like yeah. You can be fluent in a language on a conversational level. You can get to a conversational level without knowing being fluent in other things. So you can still be fluent in one way, but not in another. So like how you get fluent is by actually exposing yourself to the language. You can't just like study the grammar structures or like words, lists of words. You have to listen to the language a lot. Like listen and read.
But it's like what you're saying, like 6 years of just studying a language, quote unquote, compared to like living in a country for 6 years. Like that will be, I don't believe that you have to really study a language if you're living in it. You get my point?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you, I'm not you studying can live English in the right country. Now,
but I can tell that like I know so many more words and I'm better at English than I was when I studied English.
Yeah, like, does that make sense?
Because I see like these food labels or whatever, and I'm like, oh, that's that word in English. Oh, that I would, you know, when I see it, like I'm here and people talk to me in English and I answer them. Yeah. But you know.
Yeah,
doesn't really come from the books. It comes from
books,
people and the surroundings and the environment.
To some extent, textbooks can be great. To some extent, you can learn the basics from a textbook. And I'm not the kind of person who says, oh, don't learn grammar, because I mean, there's some like people that are like, oh, you shouldn't study grammar. You should just listen to the language, because that's how kids do it. But you're not a kid. You don't have the same brain as a 1 year old, obviously. And also, it's more important not how long you spend in a country speaking the language, but how long you spend in the language. So like the longest I have ever been to an English speaking country is 5 days. I spent 5 days in, I think it's called Bath in the UK. And I've never been to an English speaking country apart from that. So it's not how long you spend in a country per se, but how much time you spend with the language. And of course it's going to be easier to get exposed to like natural English in America than in Sweden, or like natural Japanese in Japan than if you're not in Japan. But don't think that because you're not in that country, you can't learn the language to a fluent level. I think it's all how much you want it, because I think a lot of people like the idea of a language. They're like, oh, I wish I could speak Japanese. But like, how badly do you actually want to speak Japanese? And I think you can tell people that speak like super fluent Japanese. I'm not talking about myself, because there are people who are like amazing, like Gil. A lot of people don't know that he's not a native speaker. And of course he looks the part because he's Korean. A lot of people can't tell, you know, the difference. But it's not just that. Like when you just hear his voice. No, but I mean, if you're East Asian and you live
like
in Japan for 6 years.
Swedish.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like it's shit. Basically the same. Yeah. Even if you can't see his face, a lot of people would think that he's Japanese. And that's how good some people get. That's because they wanted to learn the language that much, or they needed to learn it that much. So it's like, if you... Yeah, you really, really, really got to spend the time with the language. That's, I know I'm probably super boring right now, but like I'm so passionate about this. Like you just got to spend the time.
I mean, you studied this too, right?
Yeah, I did. I studied linguistics. So, I mean, I'm not... bachelor's degree.
Like, side note, that's why you know so much. Like you studied like language science or whatever it was.
Linguistics,
right?
And also I want to say, like you say you struggle to speak Spanish, and the reason is not necessarily because you haven't practiced speaking, it's because you don't, as I said earlier, you don't really have that like system in your brain. You don't have the language, like you don't have the language in your brain. You might have the grammar structures and like some words, as you said, but you haven't built up
this is what's so ridiculous with the school too, because like I remember the grammar. I remember how you like bend it or whatever you say in English.
Yeah,
like how you
conjugate.
But where does that take me now? Like honestly,
no way.
Like,
and if you ask a native speaker, they don't know.
Weeks and years on that, but
yeah, You ask a native speaker, you can ask...
oh, they don't know how to Chris. Do that.
Yeah, ask Chris, like, oh, how do you conjugate this thing and why? It's like, I don't know. Because you don't need to know that technically.
How to do it in Swedish, like,
yeah, you like, know? Someone else, yeah, so, I mean, it's a good base for you to, like, prep your brain.
Yeah,
to,
of
like,
course. Yeah.
Notice things and, like, to know if you hear a whole, like... a conversation, you need to know what is like the contents, what is the meaning words, and what is the like grammar words. It's, you know, otherwise mm-hmm. you just hear a whole mess of sounds, unless you know that.
Yeah, like it might be important to know, like, are they speaking yeah. in the past or the present?
Yeah, exactly. Or like, stuff like that.
Will this happen or have this happen? Like,
but that alone you know, is like not that. Gonna like teach you the language. Just studying exactly. the rules alone. So I think. Yeah. In your case, what you should, if you want to learn Spanish, you should just like read yeah. a lot and listen. But then again, you don't really need to know Spanish right now. Maybe it's more important like for you to improve your English or like stuff like that. So, you know, it's just, it's all relevant.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this a lot.
Yeah.
And I should really.
Yeah.
should really like start for reals. But I do want to learn Spanish mostly because... I mean, for me, Chris is fine in that sense, but his mom doesn't really speak English at all. And, like, to be able to at least a little bit communicate with her and actually, like, give her some Spanish sentences, like, answer to her questions or whatever in Spanish, like, that would obviously be a whole other, like, relationship, I guess, between us. Instead of just like, hey, hello, you know, or like someone has to translate or like it's just.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also a cultural thing. Like, I want to be more in that culture. So I know more about, you know, his past, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, makes sense.
So, yeah, that's mostly why I want to learn a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I have the same, like, my Gil's parents, they don't really speak English, and I'm still kind of struggling with... even though I understand their questions, my Korean, I don't have, like, the words yet to, like, respond to them. So, like, I totally understand that. Like, I really want to communicate with them, but not being able to is, like... It's really hard. So, yeah.
So, we have... some stories.
Yeah, do you want to start?
Related. I can start. It's related to language.
Yeah.
So this is just, or stories. It's just like a stupid thing that happened, but it is related to our language journeys, I guess, in a sense. But so, okay. So it was the first time I was in LA, or the first time I was here for a longer time. Like, I traveled alone. I was going to be here for like 6 weeks and all that stuff. And I met this guy, and we ended up like going on a date ish or whatever. It was just, you know, a fun thing. And he asked me, Pepe, it's okay. So yeah, I was seeing this guy ish and we got into his car. And I just started talking, you know, like normal, like normal people
having a
do.
Conversation.
I was just like talking, yeah. And I was, you know, blah blah blah, like talking a little bit.
Yeah.
And as I remember it, he didn't even like really reply me back on what I was saying. But all he was saying was that, do you want me to correct you when you say something wrong? And I was like. You know?
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah, no, yeah, or, like...
What do you say?
I didn't know what to say, yeah. Okay, sorry, I had to take a little break there. Make sure my dog is fine. He's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's, I mean, for me, that's really weird, like... I would never do that. Like, if I talked to someone in Sweden who didn't know so much Swedish, like, even if that person said something wrong, I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't comment on that.
No.
Unless they really wanted to.
Yeah, they asked for it.
Because I've also like worked, I also worked with a lot of people who quite newly arrived in Sweden and don't know so much Swedish. So they some of them have literally told me like, please like tell me if I'm doing something wrong, you know, because they really want to learn the grammar and everything. So if they say something wrong, then I could be like, okay, so in that sentence, like it would make more sense if you said it like this, or you know, because they asked for it.
Yeah.
Because they want to learn.
Yeah.
But I would never obviously do it to just like randomly like that.
That's
so
weird.
Yeah, no. Asshole. What about you?
So it's a little longer, but I'm gonna try to keep it short. So I used to live in a share house in Japan, and there was like a lot of different people who lived there, including foreigners and a lot of like English teachers, because it was a share house. It was like easier to move in than like a regular apartment, so a lot of foreigners would live there. And I knew most of them pretty well, but like I didn't talk to them on like a like daily basis, like one-on-one. So like we weren't like super close, some of us, and some of the people who were present in the situation I had met for the first time, so it was like super awkward for me. But one day we had like a living room / like lounge area that and then we were like sitting at a table and we were like discussing English education in Japan, because it's not the best. And as English teachers, they felt like they wanted to, you know, they wanted to help, you know, because they really want their students to learn the language well. And they were like, I think they were all, I was the only non-native speaker at the table. And the other ones were like from different English speaking countries. And I wanted to like make a point, because I studied linguistics. And then I, just when I was about to make my point, a friend came, and this is no shade to the people in the conversation and not even to this friend anymore, because I just don't care, I'm over it. But he's also a native speaker and English teacher, and he came just as I was about to make my point, and we were like talking about pronunciation in Japan and like how they're teaching it the wrong way, because they teach it using the Japanese alphabet, which means that, of course, it's not going to be real English pronunciation. If we use like Swedish pronunciation to teach English, it would be like weird, right? So then I wanted to make a point. So I was like, I prefaced by saying like, I'm not a native speaker, but since I learned English as a second language, and I think that I have like pretty like near native pronunciation. I didn't say that I was a native speaker, but I was like, I've learned the pronunciation, like, I mean, kind of the right way. I mean, I do mispronounce some things and say some things weird, but still, I wanted to like say something. I can't remember what it was, but I remember saying this. And then my friend, he interrupts me before I could make my point, so I can't remember what my point was anymore. And he says, well, actually, you have a pretty bad Swedish accent. And I was just like stunned. Like, first of all, who says that? Like, maybe it's true. Like, maybe he was right. Maybe I do have a Swedish accent, and that's, you know, that's not the point. But and then there was like these people I've never met before, like one girl I'd never met before, and then some of my like half friends, and it just became like quiet. Like it got really quiet because nobody knows what to say. Like, what do you say? Like, no, like, how do you react?
So
and I was
weird.
Like, and then he continues and he starts comparing me to this like other, these are my friends. The other people he compared me to are my friends, and this is nothing against them. It's just like something he said. And he's like, oh, well, actually this other Swedish girl in the shells, she speaks way better English than you. And this other guy said this about you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, mortified. Like, you do not do this to
like,
people.
Why would it even matter?
Does it matter? Why would he say this? It was like so weird. Like, I was just trying to make a point in a discussion, and he just comes in and has to tell me that my English is not like good enough. And he has to compare me to other people that aren't even there, that. And he used someone else's opinion to like say what my English was like. And I think I was so, and the main point of the story is not like this friend, like I was really hurt and betrayed by him, but that's not the point of the story. It's just that it left me so insecure because I believed what he said for so long, like, and I think the reason was because I had tried so hard to like perfect my English when I was younger. It was like I was maybe too proud of my English, if that makes any sense. I was like, oh my god, I worked so hard for my English and I finally am at a place where I feel like satisfied to a point. Of course you can always improve, but I was like, I don't feel insecure about it anymore. And then he comes in and just says, well, actually, you kind of suck. Like, he didn't say that, but the way he said it, like, it really felt like that's what he was saying. And I was, like, insecure for, like, years after that. Whenever I opened my mouth, I would, like, be, am I going to sound weird or am I going to sound, like, you know, And, I mean, I've gotten over it now, but it was still, I mean, you've got to be really careful. Like, it's the same with your case. Like, if someone says, like, oh, should I correct your English? That's kind of indirectly, like, saying, oh, I think your English isn't good enough. It's like, you should be so careful what you say to people who's trying to learn your language or have learned your language. Because it can crush them. And, like, who are you to say that? You know, like, maybe you know one language. But what about, like, non-native speakers of English that actually learned your language, and you don't do that to them. And also don't take things like these personally, because it doesn't have anything to do with your English. It has to do with the other person. Even if you just started learning the language and you're making mistakes, you're learning that person's language. And if, you know, just never take it personally.
Yeah.
Never take it to heart.
I just agree.
This situation makes me angry still. I'm over it, but still, when I talk about it, it makes me so angry. But more now because I know, like, stuff like this is what discourages people from learning languages, because they make the situation up in their mind a lot of the time. And if it happens for real, then it could really crush someone who's trying to learn a language. Yeah.
Be kind.
Be kind. Be kind to yourself. And be kind to people who are learning your language. Because, like, how amazing is it that someone wants to learn your language? Like, if someone wants to learn Swedish, I'm like, do you want to learn my language?
Those people who say that, maybe not in our cases, I don't know, but it feels like mostly it's people who only knows one language that says these things anyways.
Yeah.
It's like, well, but yeah, I know, like, 2, 3, you know? It's like... Yeah, I don't know.
No, in my case, it was kind of like that. He kind of knew Japanese, but not fluently. So maybe he didn't have that full insight of what it takes to actually become fluent in a language, and that it's not just something that you can fix overnight either. Just because you tell me my accent is weird, it's not gonna fix it. You know, it's not gonna change anything. So you might just as well keep it to yourself.
This was everything for this week's episode. And I believe that next week we're gonna get a little guest, actually.
Ooh!
I don't wanna promise too much now, but I'm like 95% sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that we'll have a little guest. So that's something to look forward to, a little surprise. It will be really fun. So make sure to listen next week. And thank you for today, Josephine.
Thank you, Matilda. And thank you all for tuning in today. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
See ya. Adios.